Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our agenda where it's time for our public hearings, but before we proceed, for those of you who are not regular attendees, our esteemed council has a few words of wisdom regarding the way we conduct our hearings and the way you need to conduct yourselves. So, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. As the chairman stated, this is the time and the place for the scheduled public hearings of the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings will be conducted of the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and voting on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a cell phone, pager, beep, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to switch it off or turn it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and any agency comments and correspondence that has been received. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits and testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. Once the applicant has completed its presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak to the commission first. When speaking to the commission, please identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on public comment or to terminate testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may ask questions of supporters and opponents, but no direct questioning or cross-examination of witnesses or applicants will be permitted. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to the appropriate person if the commission thinks it's necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. And for those of you in the back, I hope that you can hear us okay. There are some seats up front. If you need to move up to a better vantage point, please feel free to do so. This is not church, so you can sit in the front pew and the lightning is not going to strike. All right, sir. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 1664, Mark J. and Stacy N. Mills.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for warehousing and limited office space to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 16.8152 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Route 20, 3,365 feet southeast of Route 26. For the benefit of the commissioners, I've just passed down copies of the site plan for this application. Earlier this week, the applicants provided us with a copy of an exhibit booklet for all the commission members. The exhibit booklet contained references to the Dagsboro existing land use, the state strategies for policies and spending, the nature of the area by use of aerials and tax maps, photographs of the area, a copy of the DelDoc comments stating there's no need for a traffic impact study, a copy of a soil evaluation for the site, a site plan, an architectural rendering, and some proposed conditions. That exhibit booklet is a part of the record. All the commissioners have one in their possession. We have two agency comments to date that have been received, the first one being from the Department of Transportation. It is in the form of a support facilities report. It is dated June 2nd of 2004. It makes reference to Road 382, also known as Route 20. There's an annual average daily traffic of 4,763 vehicles per day, with a summer average of 6,223 vehicles per day. Traffic impact study was not recommended. The present level of service of that road segment is considered level of service D and will not change as a result of this application. From the Sussex Conservation District, in the form of a memorandum and dated July 11 of 2006 and signed by Debbie Absher, District Coordinator. We are advised that the soils on the site are Eastboro Loamy Sand, Cleese Loamy Sand, Woodstown Sandy Loam. The Eastboro soil has slight limitations. The Cleese and Woodstown soils have slight to moderate limitations for development purposes. The applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. The Eastboro and Cleese soils are considered of statewide importance as far as a farmland rating. The Woodstown soils are considered prime farmland type soils. There are no storm flood hazard areas or no tax ditches affected, and it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum was a copy of a portion of soil survey map number 60, a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site and the parcels around it, a copy of the information sheet that's provided to the commissioners, and also copies of the public notices for both this meeting and the meeting with the county council, which is scheduled for August 15th. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Is there anyone here representing this application this evening?
Good afternoon, Mr. Wheatley. Tim Willard with Fuquay and Yori here at Georgetown on the Circle. I represent the applicant. His name is Mark Mills, and he's right on the front bench there. Actually, he and his wife are the applicant, Stacy. They own the property. Behind him is Ken Christianberry, who you know. He's with Axiom Engineering. If you look at the site plan, you'll see it was he was with River Basin when he drafted that, but he's got his own firm now, Axiom. This is an application for a conditional use on a piece of property that's about 17 acres, and Mr. Mills' vision for this property is to create a home for approximately or 10 service contractors, to make, in essence, a service contractor kind of village, which is represented by the buildings on the site plan. And I have given to the commission a booklet, and in my presentation I intend to basically go through that and point out why we think this is an appropriate use for this land and what he plans to do with it as far as the conditions. The location, as I said, is about 3,000 feet south of SR 26 on the west side. Perhaps the best landmark, as will be clear to you in some time, is it's right next to Indian River High School. His property borders Indian River High School to the south. What's also significant about this property is it's directly adjacent and it borders the town of Dagsboro. And if you'll notice on tab one, I've given you the town of Dagsboro existing land use map, which shows the borders. And if you look at this, the right-hand side of that, there's a star, and that indicates where Mr. Mills' property is, the 17 acres. And that's significant for a few reasons. One, it shows that there's institutional use right to the left of it or adjacent to it. And two, obviously, as a consideration, although this application's been in the hole for a year, in fact, I'm just coming on board in the next month, but there was some discussion with the town and some consideration reference annexation, but you'll note that it's not in their planned growth area. There was some conversation Mr. Mills had with the town, casual conversation, and they indicated they're not interested in going that way. So that's where they drew the line. And for other reasons, it seemed more appropriate to stay with the county, too. So that's where the property is, and the next map on tab one indicates their comprehensive plan growth and annexation areas. And as you can see, although they plan to maybe grow the institutional area, that's the blue area, both up and down, but they don't intend to go down over Mr. Mills' property. So we're here before you today. The next tab indicates state investment strategies level is, and I know some people don't care, but when it works in your favor, I should at least point it out to you. this is in a secondary development area. Is that Mr. Robinson laughing? But it is significant because not only, I think, is the state appropriately identified it, but it fits what Mr. Mills wants to do with the property. And that is investment level two areas are areas which are generally adjacent to investment one level areas, in this case the town. They're diverse areas surrounded by many municipalities, in this case Dagsboro. They're transitional areas. They're characterized by a limited variety of housing and commercial and office uses. In these areas, at least the state encourages broader mix of housing type and commercial sites and encourages mixed-use development. There may be many opportunities, and I continue to quote from the state's strategies information, there may be many opportunities for small to medium-sized businesses in investment two areas, especially mixed-use and compact development. And that's exactly, I think, what we have in this area, and what Mr. Mills proposes is a facility that is not very dense. In fact, if you put residential in there under AR, you could probably get 36 lots. There's a very good argument that it should be zoned MR because it's surrounded by that, and then you get 64, and which arguably would destroy much of the forest. His proposal on the site plan we'll talk about spreads out these 30 by 60 relatively small buildings through a lane that's about 1,700 feet. So they're virtually would be unseen from the road, and the use would not be as intense as perhaps residential. The next tab, gentlemen, that you have is tab three. There's an aerial there, which just is not very helpful, quite frankly, but it does show where the property is. That's Dagsboro. And the next page on that is the tax map, which shows that the area all surrounding Mr. Mills' property is MR. It's not developed, and it seems like it was zoned MR some time ago. As far as I can tell from my investigation, Mr. Mills' property was downzoned actually to AR because the owner before him wanted to use it for that purpose, so he downzoned it. In the meantime, the town annexed the property right adjacent, that's 313 there, which is now the high school. Tab 4 shows you the nature of the area and actually the site itself. If you go to tab 4, and I think the chairman has the colored pictures and everybody else has black and white, but picture 1 is from, there's a current building there where Mr. Mills stores his well drilling equipment. That picture is adjacent to that, looking out towards SR20. And the other picture 2 shows where he's got a some laying hens and some goats and sheep there. Picture 3 is looking south on SR20, and you can see the entrance to Heron Wood there. Picture 4 is showing, you can see on the left there the entrance to Indian River High School. Mr. Mills actually, when the high school went in there, he's cleared a lot of mature trees that were on the road there to allow for more visibility there. Just down south from the entrance to his property, there's a small business, Parsons Farms Produce. You see the entrance to Herring Wood right next to that. If you go north, you'll see the Armory, which is why this is called Armory Road. That's across the street and just a little bit north. And just next to that is more of an industrial use, which is the town's maintenance yard where they keep all their trucks and inventory. Picture 9 is on the left-hand side. That is Mr. Mills' property. You can see a dense forest there, quite frankly, and it's a healthy forest, and he intends to keep that. It's a natural buffer. If you allow him to do this project, it should look virtually the same, and he shouldn't have to disturb a lot of the internal forest as well, based on his plan. And then you see in picture 10, the high school. The last picture shows a blurry shot of a small cabinet business that just is up the street from him, and picture 12 shows his existing storage facility there on the property. I did not. I know you should, in considering this, be interested in the comprehensive plan, the county comprehensive plan, and I didn't include that in the book, but you're all probably familiar with it, and I have extra copies of the future land use map, which I'd like to hand out to you. On that map, I have indicated with a black circle and an arrow the center of which is Mr. Mills' property. It is, to say it's in a low-density area does not really do justice to where this property is, because it is surrounded on the left by municipal, to the south by town center, and to the right by medium density. And I would suggest to you that all those categories of your comprehensive plans call for not only mixed use, but light commercial such as this. Even though when you look at this, you'll see, and perhaps if I could, I would have blown it up, you'll see a thin sliver of white between purple, brown, and orange, town center, municipal, and medium density. And therefore, I think there's certainly a good argument this is sort of an infill project and supports the application. I'll go this way with this,
Mr. Chairman.
That's fine.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mr. Lank, I believe it was, told you about the agency comments. There was no TIS requested. The level of service would not change based on their evaluation of the application, and you had that at tab 5. Mr. Mills has already spent some money on a soil evaluation. Water on this project, for this project, would be provided by well on site, and what's planned, I'm going to move this board up if I may. There's planned a central septic, which would be located right here, and there's been an initial soil evaluation, and it's concluded that for this use and this location that's appropriate. When there was some discussion about going into Dagsboro or getting county sewer, maybe even looking at this property for residential, just up the road, there is county sewer, but you all probably are aware it's pretty much tapped out. Again, because of the more modest use of this property, an on-site septic seems feasible and appropriate, and that's what's planned. As to the site plan itself, Mr. Christianberry is available for any questions, but it's fairly simple. On the site right now, the front acre and a half is in corn.
It's
4 acres is in corn. It's active agriculture, and that may very well stay the same. What you'll see is a straight 1,700-foot drive. This is an existing building that's here, and as you can see from the photograph that shows the little barn with the animals in it, this is a fairly large open parking lot for turnarounds or whatever. But what's proposed is 10 50-by-60 warehouses, if you will, with small offices in them. And I know I've seen, I imagine you've seen, some demand for this in the county, for small service contractors to be able to have a small office, perhaps one staff person there, and be able to warehouse some of their electrical equipment or their lumber, if they're carpenters and things like that. And that's his vision on this. It won't be subdivided or sold out. It would just be leased. He would manage it, and he would maintain the management facility in his existing building there. We have an architectural rendition, and I think the front edge would be 50 feet. Is that right? Or 60 and then 50 back. This is with this one site doesn't show up, but there would be a walkway there, and the front entrance there, perhaps an office in the front. We talked because it's not clear from the site plan where loading or dumpsters would be, and I know you're always interested about those. And if we were allowed to go forward, the site plan would be amended to show a 15-foot drive on the side of the building that trucks would be allowed to back into if necessary, with one garage door back there. And the dumpsters would be situated in that area as well. Otherwise, it's intended to keep the tree buffer at least 20 feet behind each building, and also keep the trees, the forest, because there's no reason to take them down. And I was out there just this last Friday. It's pretty dense, if you've all been out there. So they intend to keep all that. If you have any specific questions about the site plan, Mr. Christianberry, I'm sure, could answer that. Tab 8 shows you, again, the architectural rendition. I was not aware of any opposition, or at least written opposition, that was sent to the file, which I checked today. This property would be served by fire and police in Dagsboro, Troop 4. There doesn't appear to be any significant environmental impact. The economic impact, we believe, would be exponential. That is, not only providing a clean, neat home for service contractors, but some of these otherwise healthy businesses don't have a place to go. And, they try to operate out of their homes and store things where they shouldn't. And this would fill that need in an area that's right adjacent to a municipality and center in the county. So should be good for business in Sussex County. Comp plan, I've already mentioned that. State resource map, it's level 2. No significant state comments, and I'm not aware of any opposition. The MR to the south of this that you see on the map, it doesn't appear to be developed, although it's zoned that. It just continues to be forest, although the Herringwood across the street is. Finally, I have proposed conditions. The project shall be subject to final site plan review and approval from the county and shall be limited to 10 60 by 50 office warehouses located in the conditional use application as we've located them there. In addition to the existing structure, the warehouse offices shall be used for storage and operation headquarters, no retail. The project shall comply with all DLDOT entrance permit requirements. The project shall comply with DENREC on-site wastewater treatment approvals and shall contain one central septic system. All parking shall be in front of the warehouse. We've probably provided more than necessary parking, but there's 6 spaces in front of each one. There shall be one lighted sign, roadside, and one affixed to each warehouse building. All storage shall be within the warehouse building, and no outside storage shall be permitted. There shall be no manufacturing or processing of material outside or inside. Parking lighting shall be downward directed and only onto the property and buildings as necessary. The forested buffer shall be maintained and as many trees as possible preserved, and a central office for the lease property management shall be maintained. Gentlemen, that's all I have. Mr. Mills, will you come forward, please? You've heard my representations to the commission about your application. Is it true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Mr. Mills, excuse me, I need you to, for our record, I need Mark to give
Mills,
your name and address,
you.
Please. Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Did you hear my last question?
Yes, it you seem to cover everything that I had planned to do. I'm sure that you guys have some questions for me.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you both. All right. Mr. Smith, you have the floor, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, my first question would be for Mr. Lank. Mr. Lank, would that be that if this site plan were approved as it is, would they need a waiver from the 1,000-foot on the length of this road?
No, they would not. It's not a cul-de-sac.
Would not need that.
As far as it's not part of the subdivision regulations.
Okay.
It would behoove them to create a turnaround, being that it's 1,700 feet long. So no different than a subdivision in that sense, because
it's a good question.
The depth of it should be some kind of turnaround created somewhere in the middle of that right of way.
Because we discussed that, and I even talked to that with Mr. Fuqua about that somewhat, because we had the same conclusion Mr. Lank did, but it's why, and they'd have to get fire marshal approval or anything, I think, site plan, but that the existing building on there is a large parking lot, and it would be part of the site plan to show that at least, less than 1,000 feet in there, there's a pretty major turnaround, so.
You have an idea of what the proposed road, what the finish of that would be? Was that going to be tar and chip or blacktop, or we keep it gravel? Will it be widened?
It's to specs right now as far as the width and the swales. I did that with the recommendation of Mr. Christian Berry when we designed it, and right now it's gravel right now. I'd like to start in the front and pave it is what I want to do as I work my way back.
And you would keep it just about that existing width?
I'm going to keep it that existing width. That's correct. It is to code or to spec. I think it's 22. When we originally did the site work, we did it to spec.
You did it to spec if it were a subdivision street.
That's correct.
But not if it's in a parking lot that requires at least 25. In those areas where there's parking on both sides. And that's what you have in front, in between each building, where there's double buildings across from each other. They show more so if you just count that portion in front of the parking areas.
Good evening, Ken Christenberry, Axiom Engineering. We would, of course, bring in a preliminary site plan for review by the commission to make sure that all the driveways were designed in a way that was acceptable to the commission. So we understand that the conditional use gives us the right to proceed on a preliminary site plan. And I think Mr. Mill's intention to actually have it paved is probably what you all would prefer, I would imagine. But if you would prefer gravel, I don't know that he'd be opposed to that. Does the commission have a preference?
I was merely asking.
Sure.
At this point, just asking, trying to get information. And the drainage then, I guess, would be directed from both ends towards the existing tax ditch, and maybe in the back would just fall off.
I haven't done a final stormwater design, but the majority of the impervious runoff would probably be directed in that direction because that appears to be the best outlet for the property. Of course, as you're aware, part of final site plan approval would be a Sussex Conservation District sediment stormwater plan approval. So I would imagine that would probably consist of a pond being located somewhere on site. Fortunately, the ditch is located near areas that are already cleared for corn, so that may be where we end up providing a pond. But I haven't done a very detailed study of the stormwater management at this time.
Your request for a lighted sign on each of the 10 possible buildings, do you have an idea of what size lighted sign you would like to have on the buildings?
I want to keep it small, but I also want to identify the building to anybody that's riding through, and also that's going to be the only advertisement that I want to allow. I want to keep it clean and simple. So one small lighted sign just to identify.
On each building, plus the one at the on Armory Road at the entrance.
That's correct.
And I see you've got a flagpole out there, so I guess you'll have some type of landscape separated
yes.
boulevard feel.
Mm-hmm.
Would those signs, would they be lit all night? Any particular hours on those?
You know, I really hadn't thought about that, but I would say not. I'd say normal business hours I can't imagine anybody wanting to leave. They're not going to get any road advertisement from that distance, so from Route 20. So, I mean, we could put, if there, it would be a recommendation from you from prior experiences to limit the lighting at night, then we could put that in the lease agreement.
And I'm guessing with 10 different service contractors and various and sundry industries, probably need 7 days a week, all different odd hours.
I would prefer not Sundays. That would be my preference, but you know, just like my business, if somebody calls me and they're out of water, I'm going to go help them. So and there will be no retail, no food prep, no anything like that. It's just a contractor, service contractors, limited office space with a warehouse to keep their equipment and their inventory. That's my goal. It took me a long time to get to that point, and it's expensive to try to go somewhere and rent commercial property in a building. And what I want to do is right there. I want to be able to build a clean office warehouse that's affordable for contractors, service contractors, because Sussex County is loaded with them, and these guys are operating out of their pickup trucks in their garages, and I feel that a lot of my cohorts need a place like that, have already been interested. Mark, when are you going to do something? So that's my idea. That's what I want to do.
And Mr. Willard, one of your conditions is no outside storage?
Yes, sir.
I have visited the site, and while that's not a subject of what you plan to do here. There's a lot going on right there today, which I know is outside the purview of what we're ruling on. But
yeah, well, that's that. Yeah, that's correct.
There's boats and there's everything but a snowmobile.
Well, yeah.
If I went in December, there'd probably be a snowmobile.
No, I don't think so. Sussex County didn't get that much snow.
Jet ski, maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, you can see. Well, that picture was taken Friday. You know that he's got the farmhouse, and there's a flatbed and some pipes. But I mean, he, Mr. Mills is going to manage this, and that's a condition I think he feels strongly about. That's not one I came up with. He said, I don't want any outdoor storage. So
there again, just to ask you, and the on-site management office would be strictly business. It wouldn't be a resident on-site. There wouldn't be someone living there.
No.
That's all for now.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordon?
Just one question. I guess you'll have these stipulations in your lease agreements about no outside storage and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you adopt them or any others, they would have to be abided by. But he's obviously got a direct interest in incorporating them into his lease. You know,
That's all.
All right, sir.
Johnson.
And with some of your conditions that you were putting forth, you talked about no inside or outside manufacturing. Does that include cabinetry making and carpentry and?
You know, I didn't envision a cabinet shop there, but I don't want manufacturing on site. If somebody has a piece of equipment that they use all the time and they want to work on it, it's different. But manufacturing on site, you know, that opens up, a broad spectrum of, activities that I didn't want there.
I borrowed the language, I think, from previous ones I've seen you approve where, but I think I know what your question is. If somebody wanted to produce something in...
Well, you can have a small engine repair shop. I mean, that... What I'm hearing you talking about are the small entrepreneur who's maybe been operating out of his home. You want to provide him an office space, but 3,000 square feet may be big for.
Well, that's there. I can answer two things. One, when you said small engine repair, I don't want a garage. There won't be it's not going to be a garage open to the public. It's going to be an office warehouse. Minimal maintenance on their own equipment, maybe, but not a garage. And the way that I designed that building, if you notice, there's two double doors in the center. And I did that specifically for the sole reason to possibly put a firewall down the center of the building and split it into 1,500 square feet instead of the whole 3,000. And on each side of the building with a 12 by 12 roll-up door toward the rear. With a man access door in the rear.
I think, Mr. Johnson, at least the term manufacturer processing connotes making a product, through a repetitive process, the same product over and over. It's sort of the idea.
So are you saying cabinetry is okay, but not if you're going to manufacture furniture or... Just asking.
Mr. Mills, I'll give you that one. I'm picturing that.
I think in the lease agreement, I would say no manufacturing, and then I would take that on a case-by-case study. If there's a handyman contractor that works on additions or something like that, and he wants to build an entertainment center for this house that he's working on, then I don't see that as a problem, but somebody to set up a cabinet manufacturing facility, no. If that's all they're going to do, then no.
Okay. No further questions.
I think it would have to be listed in the lease agreement, and then, for lack of better words, a case-by-case approval.
Well, that's why I was trying to set some parameters. What you're referring to in terms of manufacturing or not, and on the one hand you're talking about contractors, and that's a perfect kind of building for a cabinet maker. I don't know.
Oh, I was thinking HVAC, electric, you know, plumbing contractors, and also, yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Burton.
You kind of answered this, but the design of the building really alludes to two businesses. So are you planning on 20 businesses? Or?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not really. But if somebody wanted, if they needed 1,500 square foot and couldn't use 3,000 square feet, then I would split the building. Yes.
And that would be more signs?
Yeah, and the signs would be on the building themselves for two reasons. One, to denote the tenant, and two, you know, they'll have an address there, a 911 address.
The if a guy rents and he starts at 4 in the morning, are you going to limit his hours?
Yeah, I want to put office hours in the lease agreement, yes.
Which, and that would be starting hours as well. If a contractor wants to start early, can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then all of them would have their own bathroom.
Yes, actually, there's going to be two bathrooms stubbed up in a slab floor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
No questions.
Mr. Couts.
No questions.
Robertson.
Just a statement for the commission. We've heard a lot tonight about the fact that this would be done in a lease, or this would be prohibited in the lease. You know, my advice to the commission is to think about that, because you know, really the only thing the commission can enforce is whatever conditions may be placed upon an approval. You know, and however long down the road from now, if Mr. Mills is involved or somebody else, the commission or the county is going to have to abide by and be able to only enforce what kind of conditions it may impose on this property. And you know, we've been down that road a little bit with some other conditional uses when the wording on proposed conditions that was incorporated into a decision meant one thing to an applicant and something completely different to the county. So. You know, I'll just sort of toss that out there, that I understand what he's saying, because right now he wants to protect his property and the uses that are on it through a lease, but really that isn't of any real relevance, you know, to what the county ultimately decides.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, gentlemen, if you'd be so kind as to take a seat, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1664 Mark J. and Stacy N. Mills? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1664? Does anyone on the commission have any questions?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
One for the applicant. Just about, if you could speak to me a little bit about trucks and deliveries to the site, what you may or may not anticipate that way, and how you see that being compatible with some of the residential and the school in proximity to your parcel.
Well, I've been there for 2 years in with that building and watched what's going on. The school, I thought, was going to be a noisy neighbor. It's really, they've been a very good neighbor. They have traffic in the morning and in the afternoon, and outside of that, there isn't much traffic unless there's something on the weekend, like football game or something. And there's chicken houses across the street, and farmers, and they're in and out with their trucks. Deliveries for contractors, most contractors get a delivery twice a week. You know, they generally speaking, or they some of them go and get it and don't get any deliveries. So I think it would be minimal.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any further questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning.